Amen and amen. If you don't mind, remain standing, please, as you open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Today I'm just going to be reading one verse. And we're talking about the resurrection, celebrating the resurrection today. So Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll call your attention to verse number 12. Hebrews 10 and verse number 12. How many have already been to a sunrise service today? Could I see your hands? I know a few of you have already been to a service today. And so this is a second service for you. I hope I don't weary you with the message, but listen carefully and trust God will bless it to all of our hearts and souls today. Hebrews 10 and verse number 12 says this, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts now. Holy Spirit of God, do that for us that only you can do. Give us light and understanding and discernment. And most of all, Lord, would you just draw us all closer to you? If there's someone here today that's lost, I pray they might be drawn to the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It took just 3 days and nights for the followers of Jesus to go from brokenhearted sadness and sorrow and despair to triumphant joy and jubilation. The crucifixion had seemed to them the end. But now the resurrection is trumpeting a new beginning entirely. While one event made them feel totally hopeless and helpless, the other gave them a sense of confidence and courage. The cloud that had enshrouded them those 3 days was entirely dissolved by a sense of unshakable faith because of the resurrection. There was reason to rejoice. There was reason to feel triumphant. The Christ whom they had listened to, whom they had followed and obeyed, had risen from the grave. They had witnessed their beloved friend's brutal death on the cross. Imagine how they must have felt when they realized that he was alive again. Everything that Jesus has promised was now assured. Their hope that had died suddenly springs back to life. And now there's absolutely no reason to doubt him. Everything he has said has now been validated. There was no denying him. He had died the most cruel and certain death by crucifixion. His body had been entombed for 3 days and nights, and yet the tomb did not hold him. He came back to walk among those who were his friends and followers. And as we think about those early believers, we are thankful that we too are followers of Jesus Christ. We believe that he arose from the grave and that he sits at the right hand of the Father. His resurrection validated and secured forever that everything he said and everything he promised would come to pass. And that is why we celebrate Easter. Yes, we commemorate Jesus' death on the cross with a quiet solemnity. But the resurrection, we celebrate with singing and with praise and with rejoicing, because this miraculous outpouring of grace from God has changed our entire lives. We are new creatures because of the working of the Spirit of the risen Savior in our lives. People ask why we celebrate the resurrection. The main reason is that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is alive today. Amen. This very moment. No other religious leader who ever lived and died can make that claim. For that matter, every single leader or celebrity who has died, whether they be political or academic or artistic, remains buried unless his or her body has somehow been removed by man. Their tombs are often honored as places of national or religious interest or pride. But of what do we Christians boast? We boast of an empty tomb, because the person we love, the person we follow, the person we serve is no longer there. Amen. Now, if Jesus rose from the dead, where is he? Scripture tells us precisely where he is in our text this morning. He is seated at the right hand of God. It also tells us what he is doing. When we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ intercedes with the Father on our behalf. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Moreover, we know from John 14, not only is Jesus interceding for us, but he's preparing a place for us. To some of you here this morning, that's extremely important, because either a loved one is nearing that shore and they're just tottering on the brink of eternity, or perhaps yourself. Perhaps the doctor has given you some kind of message that you're under chemo or radiation and you don't know how many days you've got to live. But one thing you can be assured of, if you're a Christian, you have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen? Amen. We know Jesus is preparing a place for us in heaven, and that one day we will be with him there. He said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I want to say to you, Jesus is preparing a place for every child of God today. And in the meantime, he's arranging all the events that is necessary for his return. The Bible gives us more reasons to rejoice. According to 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, Jesus Christ is our advocate. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, what in the world is an advocate? Someone who is occupying that position. What does it mean? An advocate is one who argues or pleads for us. Verse 2 of that chapter says he's a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, when the Son of God saved you and me, he knew we may stumble and fall. And like a child learning to walk, we do fall sometimes, don't we? And Jesus helps us up again. Even adults are subject to falling and needing someone to help them up again. A few years ago, I was out in the yard, and my middle son, Matthew, was out there, too, and he was washing my car. And all of a sudden, he called to me, and he said, "I think I hear Miss Rowe calling." Miss Rowe is our next-door neighbor, and so we rushed over there and found Mrs. Rowe in the kitchen floor there in her house, and she had fallen and could not get up. She had been there for some time. And just so happened that Matthew heard her call. But he and I got her into our car, and we took her over to the Cape Fear Hospital, and they did the x-rays, and sure enough, she had a broken hip. And they had to do surgery and repair that. And then she went from there to a nursing home. And from that, she never came back to live beside of us. But I want to say, sometimes we all need help. Sometimes we fall. And spiritually, we sometimes fall. And we do things or say things that are wrong and sinful and things that hurt us. We hurt ourselves, and sometimes we hurt others. But in 1 John 1:9, the Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our advocate? Aren't you glad that He paid our sin debt on Calvary? And when we confess our sins and we come to Him, that He does forgive us and He does cleanse us. It certainly is not God's will that we sin. But if we do, according to verse 1, if we are willing to confess that sin, we have an advocate with the Father to plead for our forgiveness. This defense is based not merely upon our confession and repentance for the forgiveness of sin, but upon the fact that Jesus Himself laid down His life and paid our sin debt in full. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God for the Lamb of God who can take away the sin of the world. Amen. And so when He went to the cross, our Lord died a substitutionary, sacrificial death, not for Himself. He had done no sin. He had done no wrong. But His death on the cross was for you and for me. And on our behalf, so we can be confident that when we come to God by Him, humbly confessing our sins with a repentant heart, that our sins are totally forgiven. Christ's sheep are constantly and consistently looking to the great shepherd of the sheep for guidance and for their help in walking and living out the Christian life. In John 10, 27 and 28, Jesus said, My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Aren't you glad about that? Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Now I want to say, this is not a license to sin. If you are followers of Christ, if you are really one of His sheep and you stumble and fall, He, as the great shepherd of the sheep, will pick you up and set you on the right path again, giving you the strength to continue following Him and the power to overcome that sin and or that habit in your life. And this is a reason to rejoice, to praise God, to walk in love and purity before Him and obey Him. For if a person can cease from following Jesus, if he can sin with a high hand, without seeking forgiveness and restoration, it simply means that he was a phony Christian like Judas Iscariot, who sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. When you and I trusted Jesus, our Savior, we didn't just receive forgiveness of our sins. We received the very life of Christ in us. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is right now abiding and residing in each of us. John 15, 4, He says to His disciples, Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. John 8, 31, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, That word continue is the word abide. If you abide, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Galatians 2:20, the great apostle Paul said it like this. He said, I am crucified, yet I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul chose to abide in Christ. And Christ was abiding in him and helping him to live the Christian life. Christ promised that he would not leave us comfortless. He would not leave us as orphans, fending for ourselves in this mad, cruel world. But instead, he said, John 14:18, I will come to you. He said in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This past week in Kenya, Al-Shabaab raided a school there. And they went through that school asking the students one question. Are you a Muslim or are you a Christian? If the student said, I'm a Muslim, they were released and free. Let go. If they said, I'm a Christian, they were shot on the spot. 147. And you would ask me, Pastor, how is it that those 147 students had the courage, had the will, not to lie, not to fake being a Muslim, but how was it that they had the courage and the strength and the power in the face of death to say, I'm a Christian, knowing they were going to be shot? I'll tell you how they had that courage. They had that courage because Jesus lived in them. And Jesus gave them the power not to deny him, but to stand up. And even at the risk of certain death, they were willing to say, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Amen. And I want to tell you today, those 147, you may be saying, well, how sad, how tragic. But I'll guarantee you those 147 who died as martyrs last week are rejoicing around the throne eternal today. I'll guarantee you they are not sorry for standing up for their Lord. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, Jesus said, I will come to you. And Jesus promised us his Holy Spirit, who would be with us forever, dwelling not only with us, but in us. Another aspect of his life which we receive when we receive him as our Lord is eternal life. We who believe have a wonderful life after death because we have Christ's life in us. Jesus, did he not say, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? Jesus is, he was, and he always will be. Amen. Amen. Revelation 1:18, he says to the beloved John, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Amen. Hallelujah. Only Jesus could say it in that order. I'm he that liveth and was dead, but I'm alive again. And I'm alive forevermore. Jesus will live forever. And the eternal life he offers is likewise of infinite duration. Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about not have to experience the sting of death. I'm talking about our soul departing this lifeless body one day and going home to be with Jesus. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm talking about eternal life. Christ gives to those who love him and follow him the quality and the nature of the life that he himself possesses. It is glorious, it is abundant, it is indescribable, it is incredible. He has given us his spirit, his life, himself to live within us. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ lives in the hearts of all who will love him, believe in him, accept him. And follow him. So if he's given us eternal life, will our bodies get old? Some of you are doing everything you can to stave off old age. Every morning you get up and put on the cold cream and the moisturizers and all of that stuff. Some of you dyeing your hair. Some of you have got hair coming out and you go in to get stuff to make your hair Rogaine, grow again. You're having all kinds of problems getting old and your limbs are wearing out and a lot of you done gone and got knee replacements. And hip replacements. Preacher, will our bodies get old? Obviously. Will our muscles weaken? Will our hair become gray? Absolutely. Yes, the body will change with time. But our inner man, the soul and the spirit, the unseen part of man, is maturing all the while and getting stronger and stronger. Amen. We're becoming more and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us that Christians are going to live forever. But not in these earthly bodies. These bodies that get sick and die and break. Become unusable. Worn out. But every believer is going to experience a bodily resurrection like that, a body like that of Jesus Christ. We know this not only because Christ himself was resurrected, but also because he told us, John 6:39, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the next words. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And so, if you belong to Christ, at death your soul and spirits go into heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:8. absent from the body, present with the Lord. And on resurrection day, when Jesus comes back, your body will be raised also and fashioned like unto his glorious body and reunited with your spirit and soul that has gone on to be with the Lord. So, why else do we celebrate today? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Without exception, every person will one day stand in the presence of Jesus Christ to give an account of his or her life." Scripture speaks of two resurrections. The first being unto life, which guarantees rewards to every believer according as his work shall be. Revelation 20, verse 6. The second resurrection, is reserved for all people who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And that resurrection is unto judgment and condemnation. And it results in eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, as recorded in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Another reason we celebrate today is that the resurrection of Jesus has given us a very definite purpose for being alive. He has saved us so that we could reflect his life in our work, in our ways, in our walk, in our talk. That is why you and I are in the body of Christ today. Christ is looking through our eyes. He's hearing through our ears. He's speaking through our voices, and he's helping through our hands. We are to be Christ's representatives, Christ's ambassadors to this very cruel, vile, and immoral world. We are to point people to him and reflect his light and his goodness to a dark world that desperately needs him. To all of us who know him as personal Savior, he has entrusted the most awesome and glorious message, unmatched by anything else in history. And that message is so simple: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, God sent Jesus into this wicked, vile, sinful world to die on a cruel Roman cross. The cross was not an accident with God. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath made his soul an offering for sin. There on the cross, Christ paid the sin debt of all mankind in order to reconcile us to God and make us partakers of his divine nature, to give us literally a new birth. And when you by faith receive him as your personal Savior, you are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1:13. Your eternal destiny is transformed in a split second. One moment you are lost, the next moment you're saved. Formerly you were headed for hell, but with Christ you have a home in heaven, and it happens in a moment of time. That moment you say yes to Jesus and invite him into your heart. Every once in a while you might hear someone say, "Well, I guess I'm just going to hell when I die." No one in his right mind should speak so casually about that place. Everyone is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. There is no third option. And there is no disintegration. There is no annihilation. Don't ever think that. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says you can become nothing once you are born. But let me say this. It would be better never to have been born than to die without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So why do we celebrate the resurrection today? It's all because of a loving Savior who paid the price in blood so that you and I could be redeemed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," and he pointed to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's all about where we are in life, where we're headed, and where we are going to end up, in the very presence of the living God, instead of eternally separated from him. Revelation 21:27 declares, "There shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, how can you be sure that your name is in the Lamb's book of life? You can be sure by accepting the Lamb of God in the person of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believing that he died on the cross to pay your sin debt. And he has paid it in full. And not only did he die, but after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, he rose again.
Amen.
Believe that great truth and celebrate the resurrection of your Lord Jesus Christ today. He ever liveth to make intercession for you if you will come unto God by him. Today we invite you to come. As we always do, we give an invitation. We're going to give one right now. I want you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have never received him, if you have never been saved, this morning as the musicians come and our song leader comes, we're going to have a prayer, but I want you to step out of your seat and come forward. And by coming forward, say, "I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ, and I'm coming today to accept him as my Lord and my Savior, my intercessor, my sacrifice, my substitute, my advocate with the Father." The Lord will save you. Jesus will save you to the uttermost. If you'll come unto him, step from your seat to the nearest aisle and come. If you're willing to confess him before men, Christ will confess you before his Father and before his holy angels. We invite you to come today.